and welcome back to The Point of It All. This is season 2, episode 3, and I am sitting in front of my brand new recording studio. I've got my cup of juice here as well. And I also have a very special co-host for this episode as well, Shannon Barnes Hunter. How are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you.
This is my wife, as you guys know. You met her around, I think, season 1, episode 2 or 3. We're talking about weight loss and homeschooling during the pandemic and all that stuff. So I just wanted to catch up with Shannon, see how she's doing. So Shannon, what have you been up to this past year, really, since we talked last time? Not you and I personally, but the podcast audience. What have you been up to? I know you're in school and you're working 2 jobs. So you're getting your doctorate right now.
Yes.
What is your doctorate? What is your course of study in?
Leadership, management, and healthcare.
In healthcare, so is it specifically geared towards healthcare, or could that be used in other professions as well, other industries as well?
It can be used in other industries.
So it's transferable.
Yes, that is correct.
Leadership is leadership.
Yes.
But you specialize in healthcare primarily, right? That's
healthcare is a wide range. It can be mental health, physical health, social determinants of health with regard to, where you live, your income. So it's a broad spectrum, but mine is really geared toward inclusion with minorities in higher education.
Now, your primary focus for the last, 20 plus years has been social work.
Yes.
Primarily, right? Mm-hmm. So how does that play into your doctorate?
Well, social work, just like healthcare, it has many functions. A social worker can work in an emergency room at a hospital. They can work in a mental health agency. They can work at a veterans hospital. They can work with adolescents, children, infants. They can, just do, counseling. They can have if they're independently licensed, they can, work independently and have a caseload, to help.
Right. And they could also have their own group homes, isn't that right? They can have their own facilities as well that they run.
Yes, they have to, be credentialed for that. Yeah. But if they meet the requirements, they can do that.
Does that require a doctor as well, or a higher?
No.
No? Okay. Master's?
In some cases, but you can have a bachelor's degree. And, if you meet the requirements by the state, you can, have a group home. And if you meet the qualifications, sometimes if you have someone over you, you don't have to particularly have, a specified degree. If you have someone that is, over you, just like a licensed independent social worker.
Right.
If you're a licensed social worker, you can have a licensed independent social worker over you, signing off, ensuring that you're meeting the requirements for, meeting with patients.
So I assume before you're Dr. Hunter, how much longer do you have before you're complete with your coursework?
Coursework is complete.
Oh,
right now,
okay.
I'm in my dissertation phase. So I'm working on, my research and a lot of article reviews. And I attend Capella. So I am hoping to either have it as a Christmas present or a New Year's Eve.
To yourself?
Yes.
Now, getting a doctorate is a full-time job.
Yes.
I mean, it really is the research behind the Your dissertation is pretty extensive.
Yes.
Right? So what else are you up to? Because I know you're working more than one job.
Yes.
You're working 2 jobs.
Yes.
One, are they both full-time or one's part-time? Or
one's part-time.
And that's the professor.
Yeah, at Malone. Yeah. I've actually been promoted to senior adjunct.
What does that mean exactly, senior adjunct?
I didn't know what it meant until I asked myself. I have taught over 10 courses, and when the dean of that school, which is social work, they see that you are meeting the requirements and that you're dedicated, and that you have, you know, potential to continue to progress, and you have the buy-in to the organization or university, mm-hmm. which I definitely do. They nominated me for senior adjunct. I had to go through interview process with the vice provost at Malone to ensure that I continue to meet the requirements in their philosophy and doctrine. And so I was approved and promoted to senior adjunct.
Impressive you are. Impressive
thanks.
Credentials indeed. There's a reason why I married you, and this is one of the reasons why I married you. See, guys, when you're a hiring manager or you're a potential spouse, always hire people smarter than you. Always. Don't be intimidated by that. And always marry someone higher or smarter than you as well, because it makes you look better in the end.
Oh, no, right? we're equal.
Well, we can get into that later.
Yes, okay.
So, how was your Mother's Day? Yesterday was Mother's Day. Happy belated Mother's Day to all you mothers out there, mommies out there. Thanks for all you do. It's a thankless job sometimes, and God knows I appreciate the mother of my children. God knows I do, because I see what she does, and if she wasn't here, heaven help these kids. She's just that attentive, and I appreciate her. I love her so much. So how was your Mother's Day?
It was a blessing to say that I'm a mother, a blessing to be around my family, my sister-in-law, and just...
We invited my big sister Lisa over for dinner.
Yes.
And I was shocked she said yes.
I was happy to see her.
Yes, it's been a long time.
And to be able to reminisce about my mother-in-law, who we lost a few years ago.
Yeah, in fact, both our moms passed away.
Yes.
Yours at a fairly young age for you.
Yes.
How old were you when your mom passed away?
I was 19.
19 years old, yeah. My mom passed away, 4 years ago now?
Yes.
4 years ago. Does it get easier for you as time goes by? For you, you know, think about your mom passing each Mother's Day, and Christmas, I know, is a little...
Well, it
tougher
just,
as well, but
it just depends. I mean, I wouldn't say the word easier. Mm. It's tolerable.
Yeah. Okay.
It still hurts knowing that the milestones and the achievements, they're
right.
not there.
Right.
But I still weep and cry and go through my stages of grief. today, but I'm blessed to have a godmother. A mom who stepped into my life, and women around me that continue to encourage me. So it makes it more tolerable, but the pain is still there.
Mm, that's true. That's true. It doesn't really hit me until just odd times with me. My mom passed away 4 years ago, and I'll be going to work in the morning at work usually is when I get these thoughts of my mom, and it gets me down for a little bit. But for the most part, my memories are definitely happy memories, so there isn't so much sadness anymore, but just wishing she was still around, you know, just to,
right.
you know, talk to her, and as you said, see the milestones and whatnot.
The memories are happy.
Yeah.
But they still make me cry. Sometimes you can have happy tears.
It's true.
So.
It's true.
It's good.
Yes. So how did we spend Mother's Day yesterday? We had a pretty good time here at the house.
We
hosted a little family get together.
Yes. Jamie cooked a phenomenal meal. We had the best dinner. We had ribs, we had chicken, we had baked macaroni and cheese and green beans and potatoes, peach cobbler, banana pudding, and he made all this, and it was
basically she's
amazing.
Saying your boy can cook. He can handle this business in the kitchen a little bit. I'm not master chef quality, but I can feed a family.
You're close right? enough.
I can feed a family. Now my sister Lisa gave me the highest compliment that I can think of when it comes to cooking and my food, because all my life, my mom's cooking has been my benchmark. It's always been how I decide if it's good enough or not, because I remember how she cooked. I remember what it tastes like. I grew up eating it my entire life. So if someone says that tastes like my mom's cooking, then I'm just
tickled pink.
Over the moon. I'm
yes.
just made my day. So thanks for that, Lisa. But really, it felt like all day that I was on a cooking competition show because I don't think I was going to be able to pull it off. I mean, it was getting really late in the day, and I didn't have some of these dishes done yet. The sweet potatoes, I just threw together. I made it up in my head as it went along, and
it came out.
They
delicious.
Turned out okay. I didn't have any marshmallows, so I made it do with what I had. So I was pleased everyone had a good time and they enjoyed the food. And I was worried about some of the dishes, but it all turned out really well.
So, ladies, really well. I must tell you, just like Jamie said regarding marrying a woman that's smart, ladies, marry a man or a partner that can cook, because you will never go to bed hungry. He is an amazing cook, and he's been that way since I met him. So he has definitely perfected some things. His sister, MasterChef 10 season 10 winner.
Hey, Dorian.
Dorian.
Right.
She's got the goods, but I'm telling you, he can burn the kitchen up too. And the smoker. He smoked those ribs.
Man.
They were amazing.
Guys, these are the best ribs I've ever eaten in my life. And I'm not a rib connoisseur. I like Mission Barbecue a lot because they smoke all of their meats. But I thought they tasted better than Mission Barbecue, to be honest with you, because I think they over-season their food. But these ribs were just, oh, my goodness.
They were delicious.
I use the 3-2-1 method where I smoke them for 3 hours, then wrap them for 2 hours in foil with a, you know, it's kind of like a, not a basting, but a, I can't think of the name of it, but, and then after that, you take them out of the foil and you put them back on the grill for another hour for the bark to tighten up, and man, they were just really good.
And the one thing I must say, you know when your food's good, when people eat and they fall asleep. And they don't even realize they fell asleep because the food was so good.
Yeah, we had a good time.
They were out.
The ribs, I think most of the ribs were eaten without any sauce either.
Yes.
Most people didn't have any sauce in their ribs. They were that good without
barbecue sauce.
Yes. So
the seasoning was amazing.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Bravo.
So, enough about my ribs and my cooking.
Right.
Let's
move on.
Let's get into the point of why we're here. Again, thanks for Shannon for joining me for this cook host this episode. This is The Point of It All with Jamie, and this is episode 3 of season 2. And every day for the last 3 months, I would come home complaining to my wife how we could not fill these positions at my job. I mean, I'm a general manager, and when we have a small team, so when we're short-staffed, it just ripples throughout the entire operation, you know, and someone calls up on top of that, and it makes it even worse. So I would always come home to my wife and complain about people not wanting to work, and they're setting up interviews and not following through with them, and blah, 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 blah. So I wanted to get her opinion or her ideas of why people aren't going back to work or why they're in a hurry to get back to work. We've been lucky to keep our jobs through the entire pandemic. And you've had 2 jobs since this pandemic started. But what do you think is driving the reluctancy to get back to work?
Well, there are several factors that drive people's reluctancy to return to work. Childcare.
That's a big one. That is a big one. You know, I don't mean to cut you off, but...
Yeah, you do, but it's okay. Go ahead.
Sorry. when I first complained about this, I was pretty adamant that they were just being lazy. But that is not true. And so I want to apologize to anyone that I may have offended. I didn't say this out loud, obviously, but...
Well, you are now.
Yeah. So you were saying childcare is a big one. So what else do you think?
Yes, childcare is definitely up there in the top 5. Just the stability of the people they're uncertain, you know. They're saying everyone's getting vaccine, but in the back of their mind, will we be shut down again? Will I have to rearrange my life again? Also, the unemployment, I know, compensated them more than what their job did.
That's a huge problem to me. Mm-hmm. The reasons you gave prior to that, I think are all valid. But I think what's happening right now is that the government is actually competing with employers to get employees back to work, right? If a past employer or employee rather is making $300 more per month by staying home, why would they come back to work and risk getting sick again and then paying childcare? Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So I get why they're passing out this money. And I don't think it's just to get votes as part of it as well, but I think they really are in a desire to help. But if someone's getting $300 more than their employer is paying them, but they're not producing anything for the economy, then what? How is that helping the country in the end, though?
I agree somewhat with what you're saying, but I also feel that some people are being enabled. They're being an enabler. Our government is saying, okay, you can, you know, get this extra money because we understand there's a pandemic, but there's no repercussions for, they require you to go and fill out for unemployment, go get a job. So people will say, I applied for this job, but they don't show up for the interview. But they say, well, I applied. So there's this loophole for people to get around the system.
That definitely needs to be buttoned up.
And some people who really need the unemployment, some people who really need to be, out there and need that extra. It's really making it bad for them, you know, which is really sad because there are well-bodied folks that can get out and...
I've met a lot of them in Akron, by the way.
And work.
Yeah, I've interviewed a couple of them as well.
But they don't... They're like, hey, I can stay at home and get the same amount.
Do you blame them for that?
Of course I do. It's accountability. We have to be accountable for ourselves, too. Just because someone is going to sit a big cake in front of me, I may want the cake, but I have to be accountable for myself and not eat the whole cake.
It's true.
You know, you have to show some restraint and be accountable for yourselves. And if you don't work hard and earn it, it means nothing. To some people. I'm not saying everybody, but right. To some.
Yeah, now we shouldn't generalize. And I don't think I am at this point. I mean, I've already apologized for my initial.
Well, sometimes you do, but it's okay.
Well, you're supposed to sometimes. No. Okay, maybe not.
No.
But another reason why they're not getting back to work, I believe, is the wages, right? McDonald's now has to compete with Amazon, right? And Amazon's at $15 an hour starting out. So is McDonald's going to pay that Amazon type salary, or are they just going to try to find somebody else that's going to take that $8 an hour, $10 an hour?
People can't live on that.
They can't.
People need to, employers need to come up off some of their money and bonuses that they give to the higher ups because people are greedy and it's not.
At the top.
Well, at the top. Yes. They are. And it's. They are. And you should pay people what they're worth, you know. But also,
who decides what's what they're worth though? The market, the free market should, or should that be mandated by the government? Minimum wage increase.
It should be by the market share. It shouldn't be mandated. I don't think anyone.
You don't believe mandatory minimum wage, like the $15 an hour push that Democrats are trying to push through the system. You don't believe in that?
No.
No.
And should I may be wrong for it, but no, I don't.
No, that's just your opinion. Should there be a minimum wage? Or should always be determined by the market?
There should be a minimum wage. Okay. I agree with that.
But should that be set by the government, though? It probably should be set by the government, but who else is going to set it? Because you can't trust employees or employers to police themselves. They're going to abuse that. You know what I mean?
Some will. Yeah. They will abuse the mandated minimum wage. There's always a loophole somewhere. And people, as well as employers, have to be accountable. You know, it's like that everyone's pointing the finger at this person or that person. And, you know, treat people like you'd want to be treated.
Yeah.
You know, know that they have a family to feed. Know that they have bills to pay.
You know what the problem is, though? And this isn't really a knock on the capitalist system, right? Because it is what it is. But for it to survive and thrive and continue to grow, our system of our economy requires greed. It requires greed at the top because that's what sparks and encourages innovation. Unfortunately, they get a little too greedy. And you have minimum wage. You have people making $8 an hour for 5-7 years of their career. And then they get $9 an hour. You know what I mean? So I just don't trust businesses to be that generous because they're not paid to do that. They're paid to make money for their stockholders and themselves. And that's what drives the economy. Right. I've always said this since I've been studying the economy and capitalism and whatnot. If you're not being greedy as a CEO or a corporation, you're not being fair to your shareholders. Corporations have no conscience. They can't. If they're going to make money, they can't have a conscience, right? They're to be as greedy as they can, make as much as they can, because the system requires it, quite frankly. And if they're not going to be greedy, then the competition will be. And they'll just be swallowed up. That's just the way it is. Capitalism is just, it's a beast. And now, this is also why I believe you need to have regulations in capitalism. You can't just have a free-for-all because it would, you'd have monopolies and God knows what else. So there are checks and balances in place, but for the most part, the economy is doing what it's supposed to be doing. It's doing what it's supposed to do. It's driven by market share and by market, you know, it depends on, I'll say this. It doesn't always work based on a free market because the government does get involved sometimes. They try to pick winners and losers, and that's not fair. Well, you can't have it both ways. You can't have a free market-driven economy and then help this company out because you feel like it. Do you know what I mean?
Well, so that's what they do.
Yeah, it does. And that's BS in my opinion. But anyway, here's what I will say.
It's business. It's not personal.
Yeah.
It's business. It's business. And that's just how it is. But sometimes people forget that there's people behind that business. There's people whose lives depend on that paycheck coming in. And there's children and elderly people attached to that. And they forget the human side of the business.
The most frustrating thing is knowing how much these CEOs make, knowing how much the business brings in. And then watching them pay so little of their employees that are actually putting food on their table. I mean, these employees on the bottom, on the front lines,
but like you said,
are driving this company.
Mm-hmm. But like you said, they're stockholders. Those CEOs are hired by those folks. So they have to play the part.
Right.
So blaming that CEO for not trickling it down, he has to speak to someone. Everyone has someone to answer to.
And again, this is why I can't get too upset about with CEOs, though, because they're doing what the system requires them to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the bottom line. Corporations do not have a social conscience unless it affects their bottom line.
That's it.
I listen to Joe Madison a lot. My wife doesn't like him because he's kind of grumpy and mean, but he always says
the same thing. I never said that, Joe.
Okay. Joe Madison's a good guy. He always says this. He says, he says, hit them in their pocketbook and their hearts and minds will follow. So basically, when you affect the company's bottom line, they'll be more than happy and willing to listen to your complaints about social ills and whatnot, mm-hmm. right? It's just the way it is. That's why boycotts are effective, right? That's why online boycotts are effective. They don't want the bottom line affected, so they'll listen to these voting laws being changed. They'll side with the consumer every time because they know who's cutting their paycheck. They know who's writing their paycheck. So, anything else you're going to add on work or get back to work? You're not all lazy, by the way. I didn't really mean that when I said that.
That's a good recall.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Because they're not.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Not all of them.
Because I've interviewed people that Plow told me, point blank, I could have went back to work a month ago, but I was getting the check, so I decided to stay home. Okay, why are you here for an interview then? Why are you even here wasting my time and your time?
Because they're mandated.
Right. I know 2 months ago, we had a position open for about 60 days. And during those 60 days, I interviewed about 15 people. And every one of them did the phone interview and did not show up for the actual in-person interview. Just did not flat out show up. Why would you even bother to schedule it? Why would you? Because no one's going to call and check up on it. No one's going to know that you scheduled and show up, right? Mm-hmm. So why would you even put us through the motions of scheduling an interview and then not show up? Guys, we have a third co-host trying to get in here, and it's not going to happen. You can hear the dog clawing at the door and whining. He's not coming in here because I'm trying to get this podcast done. So he needs to go somewhere to sit down. Anywho. So how many of you guys have gotten your vaccines yet? I know you can't answer this, but I have not gotten mine yet. Shannon, have you gotten your COVID-19 vaccine yet?
No.
You have not. Why have you not gotten your vaccination yet? I know Lisa got hers a couple of weeks ago, she said. Mm-hmm. My big sister, Lisa. Why have you not gotten yours yet?
Well, for me, I just need more more time with regard to the stats. I know that it's important to get vaccinations, but I
think you're not an anti-vaxxer.
Oh, no. I've gotten all of my vaccines. This one, I just think it's, for me, more testing.
More testing on the side effects standpoint, or?
Testing on the side effects and I have a lot of underlining issues that I have to ensure that will balance out with the vaccine. So I have to ensure that, on a personal side for me, that I'm healthy enough to get it.
Sure. So has your doctor encouraged you to get the vaccine? Your personal doctor?
My doctor has, but after I get more testing.
Okay. All right. And I'm in the same situation, not from a health standpoint, but I just need more data. I am not anti-vaxxer. In fact, I have all my vaccinations caught up, I believe, at least as far as I know. In fact, we just got the shingles vaccination, right? Yes. We have one more dose coming up. So I'm not anti-vaccine at all. I mean, I've gotten shots. I was in the Army, for God's sakes. And yes, you can't be anti-vax in the Army. No. You have no choice but to get these vaccinations. So my concern is just like yours. I don't think this is, the vaccines have been released by the FDA for formally released. I think they're still in the emergency use status right now. So there's still data that I'd like to see. And I've always said that I'd probably get after a year from the first shot, right? So we can have at least a year's worth of data. I mean, the year comes up in how much time? It would be this summer, right? It would be late summer.
I believe so.
Would be the first vaccination, I believe. Or would it be winter? Mm-hmm. It might even be winter time, fall. Yeah, I think it's this fall, so we've got a long ways to go. I don't mind wearing a mask. I'll wear a mask as long as I need to stay safe since I'm not, getting vaccinated. I don't mind wearing a mask out in public to keep myself safe and others safe as well, because I don't get anybody else sick either.
No.
That's not what I want to do. But it's interesting because during this discussion of getting vaccinated or not, on Facebook, I got a lot of heat from some of my relatives and other friends for not getting vaccinated. Even on Twitter, they were trying to convince me that, hey, it's safe. Millions have already done it. What are you waiting for? You're gonna get people sick. I was like, I don't think I will. I'll take precautions that I know I should take with the mask and, staying out of crowds or whatnot. Is the chance still there? Sure it is. It's obviously still there. I get somebody sick, or I can get sick myself. I may have already had it for all I know. And same for you as well. But the kickback I got from other people that have been vaccinated, they were coming down pretty hard on me. I was like, man, this is pretty interesting, because now I can empathize with the anti-vax crowd and what they go through on a day-to-day basis, because they don't believe in vaccinations at all. They don't want any of them, which I don't understand, because the data is on a lot of vaccinations, right? We know what measles, mumps, and rubella can do if you don't take care of yourself and get vaccinated. We also know the vaccines are safe in those cases as well. They've been out for decades now.
Yes.
Yeah, so we've got a lot more data on those vaccinations. So I don't feel bad for not getting it. In fact, our pharmacist, you keep telling me the story about the pharmacist. What did the pharmacist tell you?
he is waiting for more data to ensure that, you know, it is proven safe. And I value my pharmacist, and I value some of my friends who are in the healthcare field, you know, with regard to the vaccine. I think that it's important to educate yourself. I think it's important to do what you feel within your morals and standards. And just like Jamie stated, definitely will continue to ensure that, you know, I follow all precautions and do my due diligence to be safe for my children, my family, and my community. And I know that, you know, as a, you know, it's just, you know, scary, you know, to hear the heat from some people with regard to not getting it at this time. Not saying never,
right,
stating that I just need, for my own peace of mind, more data. And that's my personal preference and my belief. And people should respect that.
Yeah, just as you respect their decision to get the vaccination.
Yes.
Right. So if your employer said, hey, you have to get the vaccine in the next 2 months or you're going to be terminated, what would you do?
Thank you for the job. And I have my husband. I have my husband who will take care of me. I will be out. It's okay. Wow. Because, you know, I know my worth. And if it's
right.
And if it's
that's a good point.
Contingent yeah. on a shot, then I will be. I'll say thank you respectfully and walk away. And it's okay.
All right. Some employers are actually giving employees money. Like $100 or so to get the shot. I'm like, $100 is gone. You walk out the building. Like, that money's gone already. And then you still stuck with the shot that may or may not be safe, right?
That money's taxed.
It is, taxed.
They only got $50.
It is taxed. Now, and I want to clear up one thing real quick. Our pharmacist did not tell us not to get the vaccine. He did not say not get it.
No.
So I don't want to get anybody in trouble. He did not say don't get the vaccine. He said he's not getting it.
At this time.
Right.
Until more data comes out.
Yeah.
And that's his preference.
And in fact, he administers the vaccine all day. That's what he does anyway. He does that. And he isn't talking about it out of it. He just,
no.
I mean, if they ask him, he'll tell them, sure. Mm-hmm. He'll tell them the truth, to be honest. That's good. I like that. He's a good guy.
A wonderful guy.
So, Shannon, we're coming near the end of our podcast. Is there anything else you want to add to the show before we wrap up?
The one thing I want to say is I am extremely proud of you, not because you're my husband and my baby's daddy.
What?
Daddy. You are just remarkable. I think that you have evolved immensely with regard to this podcast and your education of people and, you know, spreading, you know, just knowledge not only about your weight loss, but, you know, different topics and inviting people in. And so I sit here with my chest poked out, just excited.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much. You know, this has always been a project of vanity for me.
Yeah.
You know, I've always liked to hear myself talk. And even though I'm usually a shy person, this is different for me. This is like, you know, well, actually, when I was in high school, in junior high, I was a star on the stage. I was in multiple plays and musicals, and I had solos.
Is that
so,
right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I signed autographs as well during that time.
Oh, my goodness.
I've always been a bit of a ham. My family knows me, knows that I ham it up. People at work just don't like me sometimes because I'm kind of in your face. But it's just fun for me to do this. So thank you for allowing me to do this and for bankrolling this. you know, I've been able to keep costs down, though. I've been able to keep a lot of the costs down. I don't mind buying used merchandise or equipment at all. In fact, if I can find it used, I will buy it used first. Mm-hmm. Always. So I just don't care about the newness of anything. My go-to spot is Cashland. In fact, my microphones are from Cashland, the Yeti, right? Our go-to spot for pretty much everything, our entire kitchen appliances are probably from Cashland, right? Cashland is a pawn shop, basically. Mm-hmm. They used to do payday loans, now they just do buying and selling pawn loans now. You mm-hmm. can, you know, but I just go there to buy for the most part. I never pawn much anything at all, but I go there to buy. And the staff is usually pretty cool. The one we deal with is very cool. And they do give military discounts as well. So if you guys want to check them out, you can look up online. And, but again, the podcast has been really great. It's been a lot of fun to do this for the last, what, year and 2 months now. And I look forward to bringing more shows to you guys as well. I've been amazed at the growth of the show. I look at the download stats, and every time I look at them, I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
People are really crazy to listen to this thing, but I'm glad you guys are. It's been fun. Shannon, thank you for joining us, for being the co-host today. I appreciate it.
Thanks
guys,
for having me.
Shannon's my wife, but I had to book this time with her. I didn't just say you get in here and do a shot, but I had to book this time because she's so busy with her dissertation and her two jobs she works. So thank you for the 35 minutes you gave us. I really appreciate it.
I'm You're sure welcome. Back to work.
Audience as well. Right. Get some sleep. And guys, that's going to wrap it up for this one. I will meet you guys again in 2 weeks for the next show. Until then, take care of yourselves and each other. Peace.
Bye.